This morning we are going to have three readings, the three appointed for today from the Old Testament, from the Epistle, and from the Gospel. None of them are very long, so don't worry too much. The reading, they're all closely linked. And the first reading that we're going to have in a moment is from Proverbs. And there's a picture, I think, coming up. There we go. It's interesting, and I don't know much about Proverbs, but I did look up something about it earlier in the week. And it appears that Proverbs, obviously written a long, long time ago, before the time of Christ, in the Old Testament, but apparently it was written to a fairly affluent society. And Proverbs is strong in contrasting between the righteous and the less righteous, as people see it. It talks about the need to distribute wealth. It talks about making people morally satisfied. How people use their wealth not just to bring happiness to themselves, but happiness to others. And the possibilities of achieving that. And overall, Proverbs talks about the great creative power of God. And the writer says that everybody is precious in the sight of God, the rich and the poor. This area around here is probably a bit like the people that was written to all those centuries ago. People who are comfortably off. We do have some money, many of us. And the challenge for us all is how do we use our various talents and our wealth and our goodness for the benefit of others? Faith in action, and how do we use the possibilities? Our reading from Proverbs.
Proverbs chapter 22, and there are three couplets. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they wield in fury will be broken. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life.
A final thought on that Old Testament reading. The rich and the poor, the Lord made them all. We think about faith in action and the possibilities lying before us. And what does that old piece of scripture say to us? And we now move on to an epistle. And I don't know whether last week you heard from James. I like James. A bit of a saviour to local preachers. There's lots of themes come out of James. And this week is no different. Sometimes we struggle to find themes, but I found so many themes this week. But James almost contrasts with Romans. Justification by faith. And as we go through Romans, there's bits of Romans that are about justification by faith. And we think, and it was written by Luther, I believe, good old Paul, that's almost the end. We are justified by our faith. But in fact, James says it's more than that. And in fact, Paul says it's more than that as well. And if you read Romans 6 and parts of Galatians, it comes out very clearly. That Paul says it is more than just having a faith. And what James is saying, we have to put our faith into action. And when we put faith into action, then we are fully justified. And so now we have this passage. And it's quite clear that when James wrote this passage, he was writing to people who were in a church and they were pretty comfortable. I mean, you look pretty comfortable too, and I feel pretty comfortable as well. And that's a lot that James was writing to. And he tried to bring them out of their slumbers. And I think James today is nudging us out of our slumbers too, to think about possibilities with this wonderful building, this wonderful space. What are we being nudged and encouraged to do in God's name? That was the challenge that James put to that church that he wrote to, and he puts it to us today. Thank you.
This reading is from James chapter 2, starting at verse 1. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand here," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In a moment, we will hear the gospel reading for today, which comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. And it is the story of Jesus meeting the Syrophoenician woman. Apologies, I can't get around that one. And also healing her daughter, and Jesus then healing the deaf man. Just a point I would like to make. Jesus uses strange words. He talks about children and dogs. And the interpretation of children is the children of Israel, and the dogs is the Gentiles. And in this passage, we hear how this Gentile woman calls out to Jesus, and Jesus responds in quite a harsh way, I feel. But she has faith, and despite being a Gentile, she believes that the crumbs will come to her as well. And the message here is that as we go through our lives, God does not abandon us. No matter who we are or what we are, we have a great story to tell. And then we move on to the story of the deaf man. And the deaf man was alienated from his society because of who he was. Suddenly, he's able to communicate again with others. God has no favorites. New possibilities opening up. The woman and the man had their faith, and we see it here in action. After this, I was a bit surprised by this character, Paul Glass, who is the superintendent minister of the Guildford Circuit, and he sends local preachers little missives about the gospel readings and the epistles. And he sent one today, which I thought was pretty good for today's service. So after we've had the gospel reading, Paul Glass's reflection on today will be put before you. Thank you.
The gospel reading is taken from Mark 7, verses 24 to 37. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he couldn't keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by the impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on them. After he took them aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Amen.
Favoritism forbidden. Guess who was in church this morning? I bet you can't. I bet you won't. Not in a million years. Him off the telly. Oh, you know who I mean. He's in that whodunit thing that's on Sunday nights. With the dog and the little cottage by the nuclear power station. Yeah, that one. Well, he was there, sat in church. Turns out he's on tour in a play, and they were performing last night in a theatre on the high street. And there he was, fresh as a daisy, in church on Sunday morning. I wasn't quite sure whether to go up to him afterwards and introduce myself. I wondered about asking him for a selfie. There was a queue of people trying to introduce themselves after the service. Well, you would, wouldn't you? And he seemed ever so nice. Really normal. He sang along with the hymns and everything. Had a cup of tea and a biscuit. Really seemed to like the attention we gave him. But of course, he would choose our church to come to, wouldn't he? Because we're the church that all the important people of the town come to. Councillors, the mayor, that retired judge who sits on the back row. Oh, yes, anybody who's anybody in our town, if you're wanting to go to church, we're the one you come to. What's that? Who else was in church on Sunday? Well, the usual crowd, you know. Roger was there, and Elsie, Carl, and Cynthia. Oh, and there was one guy who slipped in at the back just as we were getting started. Worried look on his face he had. Looked as if there was something troubling him. Kept his head down, shuffled his feet a bit. To be honest, he looked as if he might burst into tears at any moment. Couldn't tell you what his name was. He hung around for a bit after the service, but to be honest, we were all so starstruck with whatever's faced on the telly that we didn't pay much notice, didn't pay much attention, really. He must have slipped out because after about 20 minutes or so, I looked up and couldn't see him. No doubt he'll come back if he wants help, don't you think? Anyway, the big news of the morning was our celebrity visitor. How exciting to have a star of the stage and screen gracing our church. Wonder whether he'll come back. I mean, we made such a fuss of him. I'm sure he will. Might even get mentioned on his social media accounts. That'll draw in even more important people. Wonderful, you know. I wish I could remember his name. It's on the tip of my tongue. You know, in that whodunit.
Thank you to all our readers. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. James chapter 2 and verse 17. I don't often use a text, but that one stunk out at me, and I thought, we'll have it. So the last verse of the epistle that we read. I don't know what you're going to be doing this coming week, but I've got a pretty ordinary week coming up. This afternoon, it's playing pool with my grandson. Tomorrow morning, I'm summoned to Trevor's house for the preacher's Bible study. I'm going to the dentist at 12 o'clock, so I'll be leaving early, Trevor. In the evening, we're playing bridge. On Tuesday morning, it's coffee. Tuesday afternoon or lunchtime, there's a charity bridge drive at the Kibworth Golf Club. I don't even know where it is, but we'll try and find it. Wednesday's a quiet day. Thursday, I'm just driving to Maidstone, as one does, but it's a drive in the car. We're meeting some friends for lunch, who I used to know very closely, and we're meeting them for lunch. Friday, we're just spending a bit of time with some friends I used to work with, health problems. Ken's wife is living with dementia, and just going to see them. I'm not sure whether it's the highlight of the week, Alison, or the downside of the week. Saturday is the Southeast District Synod in Eastbourne, so we're trundling along for that. And then next Sunday, we're going to Buxted Methodist Church. They don't know we're coming, but we used to live in Buxted. It's a village in East Sussex, and we lived there 40 years ago. Haven't been there since. So it'll be, that's it. That's my week. It's pretty ordinary. I'd encourage you to do that, because faith in action, actually, when I think about it, there's lots of things, starting with my grandson playing pool this afternoon, through various people socially playing bridge at a bridge tournament on Tuesday afternoon in Kibworth, going to see friends I used to know very well in Maidstone, seeing people who are not well on Friday, forget Saturday if you want to, and then going back to somewhere where we used to live, happy memories 40 years ago. It's not very exciting, is it? I'm sure you're thinking, what a dull, boring man. But in fact, all the opportunities in those very, very ordinary things for faith in action. And that is what the Epistle of James was all about. That it is not just a question of saying, I believe. It is more than that. James said in that passage, and it's worth reading again, faith must change the way we live. And if faith doesn't change the way we live, then it's dead. The few little things, even with my grandson this afternoon, if I don't in some way reflect something to him, what is the point, apart from giving him an amusing time, because he'll beat me? I'm useless at pool, he's 8 and he's very good. So I've got no chance of winning, but it's a waste of time, so I might just about mess about, because he's going to beat me anyway, so why bother? And if we go through our life with attitudes like that, what is the point? What is the point? Contributed to things like Trevor's Bible study tomorrow morning, thinking about what some of the readings are about for next Sunday. I'm not taking a service next Sunday, but I really should look at the Bible studies for next Sunday, shouldn't I, Trevor? I should indeed. Yes, he's giving me a nod. So I'll do that one overnight. The other things I've mentioned, and I would really encourage each one of us here today to think about what do we plan to do over the next few days. And you may all live very exciting lives, and they are probably a lot more exciting than what I've told you I'm going to be doing over the next 7 days, which includes driving down the M11 for a long, long way and round the M25. But they're all things that we all do in life. You might have to drive down the M1 or some other road. It is how we take to using those great opportunities for revealing our faith in action. And that was what we saw in that passage from Mark's Gospel. Faith really in action. The woman believed, although she was a Gentile, she believed that God could do something. She believed that God could transform and change. And that also was the story for the man who was deaf. He believed that he wouldn't be left. His friends believed he wouldn't be left. His friends took him to Jesus because they believed something could happen. So the challenge for us is thinking, do we believe anything can happen, or are we going to be stuck in the here and now forever? These great stories today all point that God does not leave us where we are. That was what the writer of Proverbs thought through all those centuries ago. And he was writing to an affluent, comfortable group of people of their time, just as we are here. We look around here, we all look fairly comfortable. We look all right. So Proverbs was written to us, as all these readings today were, to not just sit back and accept it all, but to also accept and believe and act it out that God is a part of our lives, pushing us into action. The vista up there, the great scene, symbolizes all the possibilities for action that we have. We have been given that great scene, the mountains, the countryside, the town, the river, the water, the sun, the clouds and the rain, it's all there for us to use for God's glory. Faith in action. Are we prepared to think through what we are going to be doing this coming week? And they will be different to what I'm going to be doing. Are we prepared to think through the possibilities and to push forward with those great possibilities for God's glory in the world of which we are a part? our text. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. James said also, beware of a faith that has not visibly changed your life. Words that we might find challenging, but may we respond to those words to God's glory's sake as we move forward, ready for action in whatever we're going to be doing this week, for God's glory's sake.